The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptizer, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meet Jesus and the disciples today as they provide food to a huge crowd in the wilderness. But let's go back a bit first to what had occurred before this scene. You'll remember that King Herod of Judea had arrested John the Baptizer because John was preaching against Herod's illegal marriage to Herodias, who had been his sister-in-law. Herod hosted a grand and elaborate banquet to celebrate his birthday, at which Herodias' daughter danced to entertain the guests. Herod was so pleased that he told her she might have anything she asked for as a gift. At her mother's urging, she asked for John the Baptizer's head delivered on a platter to the banquet. Now, despite Herod's hatred of John, he had kept him imprisoned. He hadn't wanted to kill John because the baptizer was very popular with the people, and Herod didn't want to incite a riot among the populace. But he weighed that possibility against his reputation if he reneged on his offer to Herodias, and his desire to save face before his guests won out. So he ordered John killed and his head brought to the banquet on a platter. How repellent. Soon after his death, John's disciples took his body for burial, and they told Jesus about the travesty. And here is where our text picks up. Jesus, with his closest disciples, is going by boat to a deserted place, maybe to mourn, maybe to pray, maybe just to be alone with this devastating information about the execution, in essence, the murder of his cousin, his forerunner in proclaiming repentance, maybe his mentor. This experience of Jesus brings to our minds the hundreds of Black lives that have suddenly been cut down by government actors. So the people who showed up in the wilderness looking for Jesus pulled him right out of his alone time. Their neediness, some ill, some weak, some with deformities, prompted in him not anger or annoyance with being disturbed, but compassion. He felt with them as compassion is defined. The word in Greek conveys an intensity of feeling that refers to a gut-wrenching, intestine-twisting, visceral emotion of care. In the Gospels, compassion is never simply an emotion. It is a deep emotion that moves Jesus or another to saving action. So after Jesus had spent the day ministering to the crowd with the disciples, they came to him and suggested that he send the people away because it was late. And since there was no food in the deserted place, the disciples clearly saw that the people needed to go to the nearby villages to find something to eat. But Jesus still had compassion for the crowd, and he delivered a lesson in discipleship to his followers. "They need not go away. You give them something to eat," he told the disciples. They apparently had already investigated what was available to the crowd of something like 15,000 to 20,000 poor people. We come to that number because the text says that 5,000 were fed besides women and children. So if all of the men who were there were married, which was likely in those days, and perhaps they had one or two children, that's how we get to that crowd size. So the disciples knew before they made their suggestion to Jesus what they had on hand. And it seemed almost nothing in that context. Five loaves, probably what we would call rolls, and two fish, probably not huge ones at that. Given the world population at the time, this crowd would have represented more than the population of the whole United States in today's world population. So, Jesus' followers learned that day that discipleship is a partnership. Jesus wasn't the only one who served people. How those few provisions fed so many people with a great deal left over is really not to be explained by us. What is significant is that the disciples picked up baskets of fish and bread that had been blessed and distributed the food until the people's needs were satisfied by God. And there were the biblical 12 baskets of food left over, one in the hands of each of the primary disciples, one for each of the 12 tribes of Judah, suggesting that this meal had brought wholeness and completeness to God's people. Given the size of the crowd, how easily they seemed to find Jesus when he left in a boat to be alone. Given the scarcity of food at that time, given the government's constant difficulty in providing people with sustenance, and given the simplicity with which the people were fed, this event must have been terribly threatening to Herod. In fact, to the whole Roman government, once word reached them. Can you imagine the effect on people who rarely had enough to eat, of being able to eat their fill and then leave in abundance afterward? Jesus surely would be the leader to whom the people would choose allegiance. Imagine what his impact would be today in the midst of the pandemic that we are undergoing, when millions in our country and around the world are without work and have been for 4.5 months. And for us, while Congress has left Washington without enacting a new provision for subsistence income from the government. If Jesus were here to feed our 5,000 today, I think the presidential election would be a non-issue. But Jesus had a message beyond those he gave the crowd and his first disciples. It's the one that we still receive as his present day disciples. In the words of one commentator, Pastor Caroline Lewis, quote, Jesus is saying to his disciples, live already. You can't sit back and watch me do all this awesome stuff. You live it. Live life. I am counting on you. I need you. Pastor Lewis also notes that discipleship is rarely tidy or convenient. What you will be asked to live and when may just be a miracle itself. End of quote. In fact, we may need a miracle to be able to recognize when we are called to be disciples as we live in this world of me first. When someone serves unselfishly day in and day out, he, or more often she, is often disparaged, called a doormat. How can we address our need to be available to serve faithfully as Jesus' disciples in this world that really does not welcome discipleship? We do know the answer, don't we? Daily prayer, daily scripture reading, regular attendance at worship, frequent service of people who are in need, giving to support God's mission, maintaining friendships with other Christians who will hold us accountable in love to Christ's teachings. We know the answer. So, do we walk the walk or just talk the talk? There is ample opportunity in today's world for us to meet people in need, as Jesus and his first disciples did. Let's pray for openness to God's call to serve and for the will and energy to carry out that call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.